we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Corey Caulfield.
Animal rescuers called to save a baby owl, which a short-sighted woman had seen fall from a tree in her garden, yesterday discovered it was a dried-up bath sponge.
Thanks to Chris Appleby of Norwich for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome, first on my right, Andy Hamilton, and a newcomer to the news quiz, Paul Daniels. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran, and another welcome newcomer, Brian Sewell. Andy, who tried to put the care into the global community?
Can I just say that me and Alan have entered a secret pact tonight? Because, obviously, it's quite difficult to do the show sometimes in such difficult times as this. So if we're stumped for a joke, we're going to do hits from Oklahoma. Well, this was the speech by World President Blair, which I have to say was an extraordinary speech, a really rather impressive speech. And as I was listening to it, and as I heard him talking about how we in the rich nations could feed Africa if we only showed the will and could conquer the problems of climate change, and how we, if we reached out to the dispossessed of the world, we could bring peace to the world. I thought, I've heard this speech. I recognise this speech. And then I realised, it's the speech I make when I'm pissed. It is. You know, after I'm getting a bit sentimental after a few pints. It was very identical. The only thing that was missing was he wasn't jabbing people in the chest and saying, and I'll tell you something else. But I actually thought it was rather wonderful. It was such a sweeping, idealistic speech. And I thought, I'd love it all to come true. I'm sure we would. But it struck me that the only thing that stands between Tony Blair and his sort of very idealistic vision is us, isn't it? Because we'd all like to conquer climate change, but we don't want to pay any more for our petrol, let's be honest. And we would all love to end world poverty, but we don't want to pay more tax. And we'd all love to stop selling helicopters to horrible regimes, as long as it doesn't cost 300 jobs in Swindon.
You know, so I felt going on about curing the Balkans and curing Ireland and curing Rwanda, but you know, nothing about things like the Hanger-Lane gyratory system. A smidgen of practicality would not have gone amiss. But it was a leader speech. I mean, you read that, you know, you'd follow him anywhere, if only out of curiosity.
Do you go drinking with him? Is that where he picked it all up?
I think he's overheard me. Yeah. Paul. Yeah. On a Friday night.
The quiet man next to you at the bar.
Yeah, writing stuff down.
Right.
With a mineral water. I think that was him.
Claims that the speech revealed Mr. Blair's disturbingly messianic tendencies, we are all the children of Abraham, he said, gained further credence when Downing Street officials confirmed the PM won't be jetting over the Atlantic to meet George Bush anytime soon. He'll be walking instead. 2 points for Andy. Paul, welcome to the news quiz. Whose nighttime reveries will no longer involve a flight of fancy?
I have no idea. Ask me why.
Why have you no idea?
Because I've just come back to the Middle East, where I've been for 2 weeks, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. But there we are. Yeah, right.
What were you doing in the Middle East?
What was I doing? Shows.
You were on special forces?
No, shows for ordinary people. It's wonderful in the Middle East. It's all calm and peaceful, and everybody's just getting on with work. It's wonderful.
So your shows weren't part of the attack?
No. No. Not yet. nighttime reverie. Yes, we'll show them what real cruelty is. What's nighttime reverie?
Write something down, Andy. We'll be here till Wednesday week.
Nighttime reverie. I think it's the planes and aren't allowed to fly over us while we're asleep.
Well, I should know about this, and I'll tell you why. This only applies in Berkshire.
Right.
There's 8 people from Berkshire have gone to the human court of whatever and said, here, mate, we can't sleep. And I'm really delighted they've done it, because I live in Berkshire. But that's what it's all about, apparently. Yes.
One resident complained he'd tried every possible means to get to sleep and only succeeded after taking the drastic, potentially dangerous decision to listen to the whole of The Moral Maze. 2 points to Paul. Brian, welcome to you to the News Quiz. Why are the boys in blue cursing a new oath?
Oh, they've done away with the Queen. Haven't they? Is that the answer?
Oh, they've done away with the Queen, yes.
Yes, I mean, they're not going to say, I vow to thee my country and all that sort of jazz. It's going to be politically correct nonsense instead. I don't know what the new oath is going to be, but it won't be quite the quality of the old one.
Exactly.
Nothing changes for the better.
No.
It's like doing away with starting handles. You can't, you know, I mean, if your car breaks down, you can't swing it. It's like everything, it all gets worse.
It's a little bit dodgy, that, isn't it, getting rid of the Queen from the police oath?
But I'd rather get rid of the Queen than starting handles.
It's a not, yes, but but as nothing is a law until she signs it, they'd have nothing to do if she suddenly said, well, I'm not going to sign anything then.
Well, President Blair is treading on her trail.
I keep forgetting.
It's a bad week for the Queen, according to both the Sun and Wednesday's Daily Mail. Queen is partial to a rubber duck. Those of you who speak rhyming slang should complain directly to Greg Dyke and not to me. That's what she likes in the bath, is a rubber duck. You look at her old man, you can see why, really, can't you? Three loofers, that woman.
2 points there. Alan, listen to this.
Was that Madonna?
Alan, who will the Home Secretary permit to come in?
It's very strange about the Home Office. It's like Superman's phone booth, isn't it? Mild-mannered men get into it, and they come out as men of steel. I mean, I remember when this programme used to slag off Michael Howard for being a brute, and Jack Straw made him look like a liberal. And now along comes Blunkett and makes him look like a socialist. Blunkett is very upset. He gave a slapping to the judiciary as part of his conference speech for being extremely soft in that they ceded human rights to people. It's a very strange thing for Blunkett to do. He also did this very... I mean, obviously he doesn't want any more immigrants to come in. But there was another very bizarre thing that he said, which was that... voting should be made compulsory, and it should be in order to make people feel that they weren't being dragooned into going in and voting for any of those ratbags. He said it should be linked to the national lottery. So that's true. It is absolutely true. Is it not true, Simon? You were there in Brighton. He went in.
Yes, I was asleep.
No, apparently you go into a booth and you'll put your X up and you can win £10,000. As if the election weren't enough of a lottery anyway, but you can go and do that. You vote people like Duncan Smith and win a few bob on the side. Amazing what democracy will do to a fundamentally decent... sorry about fundamentally. I mean a decent man.
I'm very concerned about this idea, because if people have to choose their lottery numbers and vote, think of the queues in the newsagent. It is bad enough when you get stuck behind the biddy who's trying to remember all the family's birthdays, isn't it? But she's trying to remember Ian Duncan Smith's bloody name as well.
Home Secretary David Blunkett promises to introduce American-style green card work permits to select economic migrants. The race debate was also entered by Lady Thatcher this week. She accused Muslim clerics of having failed to offer sufficient condemnation for recent atrocities, to which the clerics replied, we really would rather not comment on 11 years of Margaret Thatcher. So 2 points to everybody, and we start the second round with an item from the Western Morning News.
Groundsperson wanted, enthusiastic and dynamic person with chainsaw and poison certificate required for holiday estate on the Lizard Peninsula.
Thanks to Mrs. Gorin of Avonwick. Andy, how did a mistaken order leave a Chinese takeaway in a naval mess?
This is a very easy mistake to make. You're captain of the Ark Royal. You've got a Chinese admiral coming on a visit. you stick up the flag of Taiwan. Who? Which of us can honestly say we haven't done that? What wasn't reported was the conversation, of course, where presumably the Admiral said, look, we've put up your lovely flag, Admiral. I would love to have heard his reply, but anyway, yes, it was an official visit by a Chinese Admiral, and we just happened, easily done, to put up the flag of his mortal enemy. But he shouldn't take it seriously, is my feeling.
Well, I would take it seriously, because I bought a pair of trainers, you know how you do, and I opened the box, and there's two shoes, and one shoelace. And inside, it said, Taiwan. Ooh. It's a groaner, folks, it's a groaner.
Oklahoma, where the winds are.
This is First Sea Lord Sir Nigel Essenhigh, who welcomed Chinese Rear Admiral Wu Fuchun on board the Ark Royal by raising the flag of China's sworn enemy, Taiwan. Later transpired there was a simple explanation for the error. Since the last round of defence cutbacks, the Navy have been so short of cash that everything on board is now labelled Made in Taiwan. Brian, your piece of music.
Abitamos subwitreo, subwitreo, subwitreo. Abitamos subwitreo, subwitreo, subwitreo.
That was Pavarotti singing Yellow Submarine in Latin. Brian, who felt that too many crosses in an examination would scupper her future prospects of cross-examination?
Oh, it's not a whale.
No, it isn't.
Well, it certainly wasn't English. It's that girl. She's suing her Latin master for... who had no qualifications to teach her Latin at a private school, £4,000 a term or something, and she had ambitions to be a lawyer. I didn't know lawyers needed Latin anymore. Surely they can't... I just look up quid pro quo in Brewer. Is it Brewer? Yes, Fables. Yeah. Anyway, she failed Latin in her high school certificate or whatever it's called nowadays. And therefore... has had to go to some feeble university in the far southwest rather than Oxford or Cambridge, and now no longer expects to be a lawyer when she grows up.
You do know you're speaking aloud, don't you? Yes, two points to Brian. Catherine Northwick is...
Are judges that out of date? They've got to understand.
No, they have to qualify. They have to read.
They have to wear wigs, you know.
Well, we've all done that.
Catherine Norfolk is suing Hurst Pierpoint College for $150,000, claiming that the grade E she got for her Latin A-level will jeopardise her chances of a glittering legal career. Fortunately for her, this blatant display of ruthless, money-grabbing greed should prove her more than qualified for the job. Paul, why are the geniuses no longer plagued by doubt?
Wasn't a big story in Kuwait. This is something to do with decoding DNA.
Something.
Give us a break. There were loads of DNA stories. They've identified the gene that helps us speak.
That's it.
Is that it?
Are you telling me that you've got no chance if you're born without this particular DNA coding so that you can be a genius? Or geniuses have a particular DNA coding that perhaps if you were to create your own child, you could have it fitted up.
I don't have the gene that can understand what you just said.
Who is plagued by doubt?
I thought it was that bloke who's now made a map of 35 genes.
Oh, no, hang on.
Simon, say something.
Levi.
Gossip, even if it's only goodbye.
No. No, it's the, it's the genetic, is it to do with the plague?
It is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, right. Yes.
Gosh, I've only been doing this 12 years. Yeah, they, now this is a good hypochondriac's question. This is a good hypochondriac, because they've worked out the genetic history of the Black Death, and they've worked out that it is descended from a mild tummy bug. So those times when I said to my wife, I think I've got the Black Death, and she just said, oh, don't be pathetic. It's quite possible. They reckon that the Black Death was descended from...
The other way around.
A bit of the squits, yeah.
No, no, the squits are descended from the Black Death, sure.
No, no, no. In terms of the history of that bug.
Yeah, but I don't remember the great tummy squits of the Middle Ages.
Well... It didn't get reported.
But it came out in large black spots, didn't it, with the Black Death?
No, no, you had a big lump under your arm. It's called a bubo.
And you had one in your drawing.
Yeah.
I have one in my groin.
No.
I should be so lucky to have a large lump in my groin. What?
Don't
do that.
Now, what they're saying is that thousands of years before it decided, rather like the Home Secretary, you know, to toughen up, and become a vicious disease, it was just a mild tummy bug.
It's just like syphilis.
No, syphilis is not a mild... I'm not a doctor. But I'm prepared to say that there is a difference between syphilis and mild tummy bug.
A group of British scientists has succeeded in working out the Black Plague's genetic code. The DNA of the plague bacterium Yersinia pestis contains 465 million letters, almost as many as the BBC complaints department got after Celebrity Sleepover was aired. 2 points to Andy.
So did I dream the stuff about the mild tummy bug then?
Yes.
Yes.
No, I saw it in a newspaper. I saw it in Hypochondriacs Weekly.
Brian, why are rock artists getting even older?
Rock? I don't know what a rock art... Oh, I know. Yes, of course. Yes. Sorry. No, I wondered why you weren't playing any music. you're talking about cave artists of 35,000 years ago and so on. They used to think they were 17,000 years old, and they've now discovered that the carbon dating was wrong because there wasn't any carbon in them to date. And so they've been able to push them anywhere they want. They can just pluck a figure out of the air, and it's either 30 or 35,000 years at the moment. It may well increase.
This is true.
But also they're rather better than we thought they were.
Well, they're better than they are now. I mean...
Absolutely. Well, you have to be good, you know. You're using a hammer and chisel. Those buffalo go past the front of your cave, they'll have a lick. Not easy.
No, they didn't have any formaldehyde in those days.
Yes.
So, much more difficult. Much more accomplished.
New radiocarbon datings of the Chauvet cavern paintings in France confirm they were painted 30,000 years or more ago. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Daily Telegraph.
Members of the Golden Lotus sect in Provence regard their founder, Gilbert Baldin, as the cosmoplanetary messiah, believing that he will be resurrected from his grave in Castellin near Cannes. The local authority has done its best to thwart such an occurrence by covering it in reinforced concrete.
Thanks to Neil Butterworth of West Linton for that. Andy, your piece of music. Which authors have decided in the beginning was the word, and the word was go?
My kids will kill me if I don't get it. This is a question about The Simpsons.
It is.
I don't know what we're talking about.
The Simpsons.
Oh, it is the Simpsons.
Simpsons. No, Wallace Simpson.
Wallace Simpson.
Yes. Murray, the king, you know. Wallace Simpson. She had big blue hair. And she was married to an idiot.
American Christians are involved here.
Oh, is it they think that The Simpsons is very moral?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's an old story. That comes out.
Couple of days old.
No, I mean, it comes around every now and then. Every now and then, there's some Christian group that does an analysis of The Simpsons and says that actually it is very moral. And because when it first came out, of course, it was denounced as being un-American by George Bush. And they put that caption on the front of the program. They were so proud of it. But, yeah, now it is seen as upholding good family values, even if they are yellow.
Yes.
Is that it, then?
Yep, more of it.
We did pretty well, considering none of us had seen it.
I'll give one point to Andy for stumbling there.
Oh, do we not think that's a bit harsh?
Yep.
You see?
I shall cut it down to zero if you
don't. I think you should ask the audience how many points I get.
Excuse me, gladiators weren't allowed to appeal to the Colosseum. Paul, who has been spending a lot of time watching the ugly bug balls?
You may not believe this.
I probably won't, Stanley.
They found a new species of butterfly. And it is a new species because although it is virtually identical to another species, it has got very large genitalia.
Very nice. It's only a butterfly, Andy. I don't want to drive people mad.
Don't feel threatened, Alan. It's not... I'm sure, you know, we all have as much as we need in that... They probably can't fly.
They can fly, but landing is hell. Yeah.
That is the story, though. It is. Butterfly has big bollock shot horror.
Who the hell is interested in the size of the genitalia of a butterfly?
Female butterflies. Oh, what's the matter with that?
Scientists have discovered a new species of British butterfly by closely examining its genitals. The process was pioneered by that well-known British botanist, George Michael. 2 points to Paul. Brian, why are the liver birds not so lively?
Liver birds?
Can you read? Because you can answer this
question. Shall I put my glasses on? Well, I can't read that.
What it says is that the people who live in Liverpool are more miserable than anybody else in the world. That's why they've got so many great comedians. They've got to have something. But it is that, isn't it, Simon?
Does that surprise anybody?
Well, that's extremely unfair.
I've always thought Liverpool should be sort of hived off, a bit like Monaco.
Who hived off Monaco?
In Monaco, they're not as funny, are they? I mean, I've never heard...
They're more intelligible.
Speak foreign languages. They couldn't do 4.5 hours of Ken Doddy material, could they?
Well, no.
I can't.
It was actually, it was one of those classic survey things, though, because when you read the study, Liverpool was the only town in England that they studied, wasn't it? And they just picked like 6 towns across Europe, and 1 in 5 Scousers were depressed. Well, as opposed to 1 in 10 Swiss people. Well, I don't believe that. I've met Swiss people. They're more depressed because they go around tidying up all the time.
Do you think reviving the slave trade would be good for Liverpool?
all those Liverpudlians working on plantations.
I think... Brian, if I was you, I would expect a phone call on Monday from Tony Blair making you Minister for Liverpool.
A report in the British Journal of Psychiatrists claims that people living in Liverpool are more than twice as likely to be depressed as people in other parts of Europe. The tendency was noticed by the release of early versions of classic Beatles songs. I don't feel fine, we can't work it out, and back in the DHSS. Alan, why are British children being encouraged to get plastered?
Is this to do with nicotine patches?
It is.
Ah. I am covered in nicotine patches. I can't take my clothes off in public. I went on holiday this year, and there's only about 3 square millimetres of me got brown. The rest of it was gum. Because children are smoking earlier and earlier, younger and younger, under the age of 12, they're going to have free, I suppose, free patches. When they graduate, they'll have to pay for them, no doubt, under our great welfare state system. But, they're going to cover children in patches. Over their mouths, I hope. to stop them smoking.
Dependent upon where they stuck the patches, of course, they could also cure early teenage pregnancies at the same time, couldn't they, really?
Correct. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
I saw this cutting myself in The Bookseller, from a legal textbook. The publisher and printer would like to apologise for a minor error that occurred during the printing process due to a bug in the software system that is used to prepare the book for printing. The word translate is used as a word of command in the software system and has become pop-pop in the book. The text, for example, on page 28 reads, "We then examine some of the ways in which these values are pop-popped into political principles."
Yes, well, I'm indebted to Steve Harlow of York, I think, for this. The headline is wonderful. Lose and lay-bys on sex website. Apparently, toilets, parks and lay-bys across North Yorkshire, grand country, have been highlighted on the internet as meeting places for illicit sex encounters. Also listed are the central area car park toilets in Tadcaster. Tadcaster Town Councillor Jean Ashton said, "It's outrageous. I didn't think things like that went on in Tadcaster. Our menfolk are into darts and dominoes or a fight on Saturday night."
Brian.
Mine is an advertisement from sent in by one John Lockwood, who appears to be one of the few remaining readers of The Spectator. 18th century cottage on private country estate. Four-poster bed, five-star rated, sleeps six.
Alan.
Sort of connective thread is going through, or it will while I've finished, because mine is not dissimilar from Paul's. It's from the Lancashire Evening Post, Simon. It says, WPC Romilly told the court that Harrington's car, which had been crawling along Cecil Road, stopped beside her. The near side window was lowered, and Harrington leaned across and asked her whether she was in business. She produced her warrant card and informed him that she was a police officer, to which he replied, "Fantastic."
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final score. Andy and Paul have 15 points, but Alan and Brian have just snatched victory with 16 points. Here's an item from the Prague Post, sent in by Maxine Wicks of Bristol.
Last week's column mistakenly misidentified a source. The European Commission president is Romano Prodi and not Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz, Alan Carr and Andy Hamilton, Paul Daniels and Brian.